Hello, Fatitude Era fans. Your pal Jackknife Jess here, and this is a special message to any of you with shit to sell. Do you have a product to sell or a service to provide? We have a podcast. Let us represent you. We want to tell people all about your stuff, and we'll do it for dirt fucking cheap. Not only can you get a commercial, but you can also sponsor any of our segments, like Ty the Gatherer's Backyard Report, the Philly Fan, shit, even the Top 10 list. So get in touch with me from the link on our SoundCloud page or our email address at fatitudeera.gmail.com, and let's get your message heard. But on that note, let's get this show rolling.
Fuck you, you're wrong. Fuck you, we're right.
Welcome back to the Fatitude Era, where the last slice of pizza is grounds for a deathmatch tournament. I'm your host, Jackknife Jess Smith. With me, as always, is the fat guy to my big fatty cool,
El Hordano Diablo.
Joined, as always, by the product of a Rust Belt Immaculate Conception, the Lord and Savior Pete Milk. Pete, say hello.
Good evening, everybody. How's it going?
Pete, weren't you born in Croatia?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, Rust Belt my ass, dude. He was born in a fucking vodka distillery in his grandpa's barn.
Kinshavka?
No, dude, I was born in a hospital like everybody else, man.
Yeah, because they have those in
Yeah,
fucking...
they do.
No, he was born in a hospital.
Yeah, they do.
He was born on a hospital. There was the sign on the barn
didn't
that
they
said
all,
hospital.
Wait, didn't they all get... Yeah, that's the fucking bar. That's where people go to cure their pain in fucking Croatia, is the bar.
No, dude, the city that I was born in, Croatia, is the number one tourist spot in Europe.
Very big guitar.
Oh, America, rock and roll city number one.
Very big guitar.
Very big guitar.
That one's for Christine, even though I know she doesn't listen to the
podcast. Okay, off the rails.
Alrighty. So anyway.
So yeah, we're going to go right into current main events. The Royal Rumble.
The Royal Rumble. It was good.
I was happy with it. I was glad that they proved us wrong.
Did they prove us
yeah,
wrong?
Yeah, they. I mean, we guessed the ending. We knew the ending.
Yeah,
but
I don't know if we really guessed. I think it was like a foregone conclusion for like 2 months.
Yeah.
Like,
what's a conclusion?
Shut up, bitch.
Anyway, but yeah, I mean, the opening match of the night, Ambrose versus Owens, was
tore down
amazing.
The fucking house, dude. I watched that match like 3 times this week. Like, that was a good match.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then, of course, WWE, poor booking. Like, let's throw the best thing at the beginning, all right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, at least got people pumped up. And
yeah,
then, and then it disappointed them.
Yeah.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not shitting on the other matches. They were watchable, I mean, but...
Not close
not,
to that.
Not even close, I agree. But...
And it's like, I forget who I was watching. I think I was watching it the second time with Gravy. And, like, the finish of the match with him pushing him through the, like, when he set him up on all the chairs and he pushed him through the tables and
yeah.
shit. Like, excuse me. That, I was like, I saw that coming a mile away. I was
yeah.
like, oh, yeah, he's going through both those tables. He's going to lose. And Gravy was just like, dude, that was awesome. I was like, yeah, but... There was no reason that he was going to set up those tables and they were just going to leave them there. Like
yeah.
that, somebody was going through those.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I didn't think it would end as quickly as it did. You know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong, the match went on for a pretty long time.
Yeah, it was like a 20-minute match.
Yeah, but I was hoping maybe that, you know, Dean would go through the chairs and
I was,
then...
dude, a moonsault through the chairs would have been pretty brutal.
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
doubt that they would even let them do that.
Yeah, I mean, they have enough injuries that, you know, they're like, yeah. okay, well, we could do the tables, but... You know
can't
I mean?
Hurt Ambrose or Owens right now.
Yeah, especially with what's you know happening right now with you know the storyline between Reigns, Ambrose, and Lesnar.
To be honest with you, I didn't get a chance to watch Raw this week. I haven't gotten a chance yet. So
your friends are going to be so mad at you.
Why?
Remember they gave you shit on the first episode?
Could
you?
Oh
didn't watch
yeah,
Raw?
But I couldn't watch it. This my dude. My I was like, let me DVR Raw, and he's like, you're not DVRing that shit on my fucking TV. My uncle was like, I'm not having it. Like. I'll delete it later.
Yeah.
Not having it.
Yeah.
I mean, I obviously I saw that like I can't wait to see the Ambrose Lesnar Heyman thing.
Well, but what's going on is basically at Fastlane, there's going to be a triple threat
in Cleveland.
Yeah, there's going to be a triple threat.
I knew that.
Yeah, so I mean, like, that's what I'm referring to. You know, they want Ambrose in top fighting shape to make that a good match, to make it a match that is worth buying the pay per view for and what have you, or subscribing to the network. And I'm hopeful for it. I think it's going to be awesome. Rocky came back on, last week.
Last week. I thought you were going to say last night. I was like, he came back again?
No.
I think Rocky came back
last week and it was fantastic.
Yeah, that was,
I have a question.
What's that?
What is Fastlane?
It's the next pay-per-view.
February's pay-per-view.
Like, so these not to be that guy, but I don't know shit about this shit. But like, so the Royal Rumble just happened. So is that like the winter one? Is it like pay-per-view event per season?
No, there's one pay-per-view event per month.
Oh, per month?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is what makes the network worth getting, because you're not paying $60 a month for a pay-per-view.
Okay, understood. All right, sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, it's no
problem. Continue.
Deal.
It's okay.
You got a frame of reference, dog.
You're the voice of the non-wrestling fans that listen to this, so
mm-hmm.
It works out perfectly. But
none of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, Troby. but yeah, I mean, I'm really hopeful, but I think that's going to be a great match, you know, the triple threat. I do think that Ambrose and Lesnar can do a great storyline, but I'm just happy to see Paul back on TV.
Yeah,
he was on
last week too.
Yeah,
the last 2 weeks it was the last 2 weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah. My point is, he's, you know what I mean, they opened the show with Lesnar and Heyman.
Oh, did they?
Yesterday.
Nice, cool.
So that was
that's always good.
I mean, that's definitely worth it. You know, I mean, other than that, there's really nothing standing out per se. I mean, obviously, it's great to see that Kalisto's got the belt now. I think that, you know, they had a match. It was Kalisto and Rusev last night.
Yeah, I saw Kalisto won.
He won by count out. I mean, I was at Pounders watching it in the bar before I had to catch the bus. So, but I mean, it was definitely a fine match. I didn't have an issue with it, but it is what it is. I mean, the main thing I'm hoping for is that they can just get people on a one storyline track. You know what I mean? Because it seemed like, you know, 2 weeks ago, it seemed like they were going to do a Styles-Jericho feud. But now it seems like AJ Styles attacked The Miz.
I had read last week after Styles, like, premiered, they said that they were going for Styles versus Owens as his first feud, his first real feud, and that's who they were going to have him face at WrestleMania.
Well,
it makes way more sense to me to do like a five series matchups with him and Jericho and then let them tear down the fucking house at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
However, that wouldn't be for a belt, so it would not be very high on the card.
Yeah.
And I would feel bad for anybody who fucking wrestled after them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I'm glad that they're not giving him the Dudley treatment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, no. I think they paid him good money, and he's going to get a good push.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, here's hoping. I mean, it's his second time in the company, but first one that matters.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was originally, I think it was like in 2003, he came to WWE.
Yeah.
It was for a period of a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And then they just let him go, which
was
dumb on their part, but it is what it is. But yeah, I mean, either way, I mean, I don't regret watching Raw this week. I mean, I think it was serviceable.
Like I said, I haven't gotten a chance to.
So I will definitely check it out. You had New Day versus Roman Reigns and Ambrose, which was a good match.
The top segment
is easily Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar at the beginning of the last episode.
As it always is.
Yeah. So I mean, there's really no competition.
I mean, there's that. I mean, the New Day, man. I don't care. Obviously, you're going to get, because Lesnar's such a huge fucking star, that's going to be a huge thing, and Paul Heyman's the best on the mic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next best thing in the company, though, is the New Day. Hands down. They just, like, because I've been watching SmackDown and shit, too.
Yeah.
So it's like, getting to see them, like, twice a week is fucking awesome, dude.
Well, you've always had the option to watch SmackDown. They have the full episode.
I know, but, like, after, like, I was just going to say this, like, I was bummed I didn't get to watch Raw last night because it's been good.
Well, here's what I'm like. What I've noticed is SmackDown is becoming less of a raw, you know, review.
Yeah.
Because when it was on different networks, they would always say, okay, here's what happened on Raw. Oh, here's what's going on, but that's because this happened on Raw. You know what I mean? But now that they're on the same network, they're just like, well, fuck you if you didn't watch Monday. Here's some other matches.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you know? Titus O'Neil, he was in the main event, I think, on SmackDown. Or maybe not the main event, but the match before the main event. Yeah. And he looked really strong. I said that during the Royal Rumble. Like, I either tweeted it out or put it out on Facebook or something. Like, there is no reason that dude is not a top contender. A number one guy because...
Well, there is a reason he's just not been booked that way. He should be.
No, I mean, dude, the guy is a fucking monster, which is what Vince likes.
He reminds me of Terry Crews.
He's also black, which Vince doesn't like. Yeah. So there's that whole thing. But it just sucks, dude. Like watching that dude in the Rumble, he came in and fucking just beat ass.
Yeah.
And it was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Really fun to watch.
I was definitely... Definitely.
We didn't, but the Rumble, dude. Triple H is fucking champion again. We didn't even fucking touch on that.
I mean, what is there to say? We knew it was going to happen.
I know, but still, I mean, he's...
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, I know a lot of my friends were pissed about it. Like, when they were texting me,
my dad was pissed about it.
Well, I let my friends use my network subscription, you included.
Me included.
And basically... had a bunch of people texting me going, what the fuck? What is this all about? And I was just like, just chill. They're just trying to have a story for Mania and everything like that. It's going to be Roman Reigns versus Triple H. And that way they can end that story then and there and then start fresh the Monday after.
Will it?
I think it will.
I mean, I'm sure that's what it is, but like, because they're not going to stop trying to push Roman Reigns. But I don't know if you saw that article I posted, like the curious case of Roman.
Yeah, I saw it.
It's pretty spot on, dude. I mean, like, I don't know how they're going to get him over at this point. Like, because the fans flip flop with him, dude. Like, one week they like him and one week they hate him. So.
Well, I mean, you know, they could just totally fuck everybody over and just have it be Lesnar versus Triple H at WrestleMania.
Dude, I was actually talking to my dad today. Like, he texted me and he was saying that they're saying it. Like, he read rumors that it's going to be Lesnar versus Goldberg at WrestleMania. I'm like, A, they did that 13 years ago and it fucking sucked. That being said, it makes way more sense to throw Lesnar in a feud with Bray Wyatt to whereas Brock Lesnar is not going to have the same fucking match he's had for 2 fucking years. Do I love the guy? Yes. But he's pretty much a fucking one-trick pony at this point. He goes in there and he throws people around. That's what he does.
Yeah.
Like, you put him in a match with Bray Wyatt, he's not going to be able to do that as much.
Yeah.
And, well, exactly. Could he actually do it? Yeah, sure.
Well, yeah,
could,
but what I'm saying is Bray has the perfect defense against a suplex. The minute he tries to get him for that German suplex, he can turn around and get him in Sister Abigail.
Yeah, no,
would not only make Bray look strong, but it would actually show a sign of weakness in the Beast. Because you don't want the Beast looking too inconquerable.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because if he looks too inconquerable, people are not going to watch his matches.
And I think they're setting it up that way. I mean, the way like Bray's been cut, like he cut the promos, you know, we slayed the Beast or where we slaughtered the Beast. Like, I think is their best option. They could go Lesnar and Ambrose, which would also be good.
Yeah.
But I think
But Bray makes more
way
sense.
Way more sense.
Yeah. And on top of that, you know, it was nice that Bray wasn't just a jobber in the Rumble. They lasted well into the, you know, into the late 20s.
I think he might even been there longer than that. Like, him and AJ Styles are both in there for like a half fucking hour, dude.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is when I say late 20s, I mean like into like the 26th person in the ring,
and
everything like that. But what I'm saying is, what I thought was great was Lesnar comes in and people are like, all right, well, Lesnar's going to throw a whole bunch of people out. No, he gets his ass thrown out by the entire Wyatt family, which I thought was great.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was really good.
But, and on top of that,
but he threw all them out first.
He eliminated everybody but Bray.
Well, that's what I mean. And then they climbed back in and fucking
threw, but that's
which was great.
The perfect thing that the Wyatt family would do.
But there's no way that Brock could have gotten in there and they just eliminated him without him throwing the three of them out.
Yeah,
but
I'm saying it made perfect sense.
No, it works.
Smartly booked.
And that was booked well if they lead towards that, towards Mania.
Yeah.
Because that's a good call. And I guess the rumors of Strowman versus Undertaker got squashed, which thank God, because that would have just been a fucking terrible match.
Just the two of those tall
one
motherfuckers.
One guy who's worked for fucking 25, 26 years in the same company, and then a dude who's been here like 3 months.
Yeah.
Not cool.
Yeah.
I guess we can stop talking about main events.
Yeah. So that was current main events. Do you agree with our submission of Raw or our opinions? Let us know in the comments. We'll be sure to respond.
The comments?
Yeah, the comments. Speaking of cum, it's time for this week's Top 10 List! As always, this segment is brought to you by Kazi Co., a.k.a. Kazi Customs. Were you going to clean your room, but then you got high? Sounds like you should pick up one of Kazi's Dab Life t-shirts. Go to Kazi Co., pick up one today, and while you're there, put in an order for some custom artwork to stare at while you're high as a fucking kite. Kazi Customs, your one-stop shop for t-shirts and artwork. The link is on our SoundCloud page. Okay, so we're going to have a very special top 10 list today.
Okay.
And it's... kind of a part two to last week, because last week was
last
so
week
good.
We didn't do a podcast
last episode rather and that is because we had so much response from last episode's top 10 list that the list pretty much wrote itself. So on that note, Pete, bring back the music. Very nice. And this is the top 10 fan submitted wrestler porn characters. The main contributors, because we only have like two fans, is Troby Wolski, very nice guy, and Tommy Eckel, very, very nice guy. Okay, so...
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. We love you guys. Number 10, King Dong Bundy.
yes, I love it.
That was from Troby.
Dude, the honky donk, man.
Here we go.
Number 9, Billy Lovegun, a.k.a. Mr. Assfuck.
Oh.
I figured you'd like that one because you're a Kiss fan.
I do. And Mr. Ass.
That was from Tommy Eckel.
We're both jobless.
Number 8, Tommy Wet Dreamer, Troby Wolski. Number 7.
Throbby Dreamer.
Yeah. Number 7, Sean Likes Holes, a.k.a. the Whole Bone Kid, Tommy Eckel. Number 6 is Reinho, Troby Wolski.
Nice. All right. All right.
Number 4, The Big Sex Machine, Kane.
Tommy Eckel. I was like, what?
Number 3, The British Blumpkin, Troby Wolski.
The British Bulldog, dude.
Number 2, Chode Dog Jesse James, Tommy Eckel. And the number 1 fan-submitted wrestler porn character is, instead of Awesome Kong, Awesome Cunt, Troby Wolski.
Of course, that was fucking Troby. Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. So
awesome.
Thank you very very much to Tommy Eckel and Troby Wolski. I have never laughed so hard in a week-long period in my life.
I don't know. We were laughing pretty hard when we did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, in a week-long period.
What'd you say?
Long dong.
Long dong.
I don't know. What, awesome dong? Long dong? I don't know what the character is.
Longsome dong?
Did you see that? Did you see that? I don't know if I sent you the meme of it was like... it's like AJ Styles getting tattooed, and it said AJ, and it had like the dates of when his kids were born.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was like CM Punk, and then it was like that picture, and then it was CM Punk's like, is that my wife's name? And then it was AJ Styles. He's like, yeah. And he's like, well, what are those dates? He's like, every time I banged her. And then Lauren Budin sent me one last night, or maybe it was today, I don't remember. But it was a picture of The Godfather, and then below it was The Social Outcast, and it said Bo Train, which I thought was fucking awesome, dude. Because they're all in a single file following Bo, and I was like, that's great, dude.
That's awesome. Oh, man, but we're going to go get a cigarette. We'll be right back on the Fatitude Era after these messages.
Dude, those logos are sexy.
Logos. We have like 3 now.
We have 3 now, and it's all because of one man.
There's cartoons of us, dude.
There's cartoons of us, and they've been done by Adam Paduke, a.k.a. Kidney Leans. And guess what? You can check out his awesome artwork at the one, the only, KidneyLeans.com. That's right. This motherfucker has a fucking website.
That's legit as fuck.
You can contact him there. You can get in touch with him. You can check out his designs and choose one that you want to imitate. But guess what? You can't steal ours, bitch.
No, you can't. Can't have it.
So check him out, KidneyLeans.com or on Instagram at KidneyLeans. Adam Paduke, KidneyLeans, check him out right now. Pause the podcast. Go check him out.
Hey, are you looking for some fab 90s fashion? Well, get down to Catitude Vintage, located conveniently in Mahal's in Lakewood. And this place has great prices that will make you so surprised, more surprised than when Topanga kissed Corey for the first time.
But, as you inquired, they do not have Jankos.
They do not have Jankos.
And for the record, they never made Jankos in your or my size.
And for the record, I will never shop there. No, I'm kidding. No, but seriously, check out Catitude Vintage. As I said, located conveniently in Mahal's. You be sure to check out their Facebook for their hours of operation. Tell Lawrence, make sure you tell her thank you for busting out Ty the Gatherer.
And because, you know, she did bust out Ty the Gatherer and did, what do we call this? It's called a fucking ad, something. What is it? Sponsorship.
Yeah, she's one of our sponsors.
She's one of our sponsors. She fucking provided the sponsorship for Ty's segment on the last episode.
Exactly. So be sure to check her out. Tell her that you're there because the Fatitude Era sent you there, and she'll give you a discount of 20 cents. Catitude Vintage. Check it out.
Also known as Booplex City.
Booplex City, bitch. Welcome back to the Fatitude Era. As always, we really love that ad. I love that ad.
It's a good ad.
Yeah, but yeah, we're going to go into a brand new segment on the show. So we spend a lot of time on the internet, doing our social media thing. But we look at a lot of wrestling websites, and I came across one that was kind of creepy. Was wrestling fan fiction, and not the safe for work kind. So we were looking around.
NSFW?
Yes, there you go. So we were looking around for the perfect person to read it. And we found this dude. He was working a part-time shift at Adult Mart, right where the old White Castle is. And so, yeah, we asked him to come in and read the little section of this story. And Jordan has not heard this story yet.
I have not.
So it's going to be a straight, total dry run, and he's we're just going to record his
dry
reaction.
Run sounds so dirty. Yeah, it does. No lube, just a dry run.
You're a dry guy. But yeah, so we'd like to welcome you to our new segment entitled Sexy Storytime with Chris. So take it away, Chris.
A reading from an erotic fan fiction about the Shield's after work activities. I want to try the grapefruit method out on Seth tonight. Roman smirked as Dean looked very confused. Roman opened the video and gave Dean his phone. He looked a little bit disturbed at the beginning. He realized that this was not what some people do. He shook his head. Don't do or say anything. We'll prepare the grapefruit now and put it in the fridge. Tie him up and blindfold him. We'll see how it pans out. Roman had a plan. Dean nodded in anticipation. They knew that Seth would be back in an hour. They both prepared the grapefruit and hid it in the back of the fridge. They were excited. Seth was going to be so confused. Seth was not ready for what they had planned. He got home and noticed the air seemed erotic. Roman and Dean seemed to be aroused, or just in the mood. Before Seth could protest, Roman and Dean had him on the bed, on his back, and blindfolded. The clothes were being torn off him. He was naked and tied to the bed. Seth was becoming very aroused with the restraints and blindfold. He was sporting a semi. Roman had left Dean to arouse Seth more while he grabbed the grapefruit. Roman walked in and helped. Once he was nearly fully hard, Roman put the grapefruit on Seth's dick while Dean put his mouth on the top. Jesus As Dean Christ. Bobbed, Roman moved the grapefruit with him. Seth was moaning and groaning in pleasure. He was wriggling a little, trying to keep the warmth and wet, silky stimulation on his rock-hard member. Oh, fuck. Oh. Oh. I'm gonna come, Seth groaned. Dean stopped stimulation, and Roman slid the grapefruit off Seth's dick. He began to protest and wriggle more. He began to beg for stimulation and to come. Instead, they teased. They jerked him off a little, and then stopped all stimulation. He was on the edge and desperately needed release. Dean and Roman undid the ties on Seth. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Now, I'm pretty sure it's not just you who has a problem, Roman hinted. The grapefruit was used on Dean and Roman. By the end of the night, they were spent. The grapefruit would become a small part of their sex life. It made them come better than ever. The end.
Dude, I will never in a million years look at any three of them the same ever again. That is the most fucked up shit. I am all down for what people want to do, but holy fucking shit. Who writes that, dude? Who has the time to fucking... And I've got all the time in the fucking world. And that is not something that's ever crossed my mind, dude.
I don't think I could be any more flaccid than I am right now.
Dude, I don't want to jerk off ever again. That is fucking so... My brother can't listen to this episode, dude. Are you fucking kidding me? Oh, what are we going to hashtag this with?
Grapefruit.
Fucking
grapefruit.
Jesus Christ.
Member.
Oh, dude. Oh, the fuck, man. The fuck. That is... Wow. Dude, wow. I don't have much for that. That speaks for itself, everybody.
Okay. So, yeah, we're going to go... before we get into our next segment, let's get a round of applause for Chris. That was lovely. And we'll be sure to bring him back sometime whenever you folks really want to hear a story. So did you like that segment? Let us know in the comments below. But as always...
I did not like it
no.
at all.
We're purposely bringing it back for every episode.
No, but seriously, we can cover this one more time. Who the fuck writes that shit, dude? I'm not going to get the answer that I need. Or that I want, or whatever. I mean, just like, who fucking does it? I just don't get it. It makes no sense to me. Like,
either
who,
way.
And like I said, I'm a fucked up guy. But
yeah.
Like, not like that. Somebody is mentally fucking disturbed. And coming from me, like, all bets are off, dude.
Oh, man. But we're going to go into our next segment, kind of related, because Seth Rollins was involved with that, and Seth is a heel, so let's go to our topic discussion, and this week, we're going to be talking about heels.
Heels. Bad guys.
Yeah, bad guys. And, you know, it's going to be a very, very similar to our pretty much in-depth discussion of ECW, or the Royal Rumble, where we were talking about... you know, our favorite people to see in the Rumble and what have you. This is basically, we're going to be talking about favorite heels. We're going to talk about terrible heels, heels that should have never even fucking tried.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about what makes a heel, and if a heel is really liked, are they really a heel anymore?
Yeah, in terms of now, not really, because, I mean, Kevin Owens is a heel, and he gets cheered every time he comes out.
But we'll get to that. But first, obviously, who are your favorite heels of all time?
Of all time, we're just strictly wrestlers. Oh man, and no, in no order. I mean, I fucking love Lance Storm. I mean, Lance Storm. He was never. I mean, maybe when they were the Thrill Seekers, they might have been good guys for a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, him. Because he was never a good guy. Lance Storm, and he didn't even need to talk much. He just knew how to get heat. Like the
yeah.
dude, as we've talked about him before, he just knows. Across the board, how to be a good professional wrestler.
Yeah, definitely.
Raven.
Yeah.
Raven is definitely up there. I'm just going to name ECW guys. no, Orton. I mean, Orton when he's, like, in his prime.
Yeah.
You know, I think because Orton might be past his prime at this point.
He's well past his prime.
But, like, he...
Dude fucks up his shoulder taking out the garbage. The garbage took a massive heel turn.
He comes back as the trash man from Always Sunny. Yeah. I'm the trash man! That would be that. Now that's a good angle for him. Piper is the number one heel of all time.
Yeah.
Fuck you if you don't agree with me.
Yeah, I agree.
Piper is definitely my top. Let's see, who else was just really good at getting heat? Jericho.
Yeah.
Jericho, because he's been a heel the majority of his career. I mean, he has his face runs, And he's good at that, too, but, like, he's a way better heel than he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
The Rock as a heel.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, what's funny is The Rock, his whole career was made out of being a heel. Because when he came in as Rocky Maivia, he was just the typical, hey, guys, I'm going to smile for everything and everything like that. But when people started to boom, he became that, no, The Rock says this, you shut your mouth and everything like that. Rock, so that sucks. Made his career. Yeah, and what's funny is he was the first, like the first at least huge, in my opinion, huge representation of what we were just talking about where if they're well-liked, are they even a heel anymore? Because when he started doing the People's Champion and everything like that, that was a total heel tactic, but then people started agreeing with him.
No, yeah, absolutely. You know? I mean, but, like, the thing was, is, like, even when he was a heel, like, when he was going up against Austin, you know, like, for his first real big run.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, people liked him because they dug what he was doing, but anytime that glass broke and The Rock was going to get his ass kicked,
yeah.
I mean, people were cheering. But, I mean, there you go. There's the prime example of a heel that was a face, Austin.
Yeah.
I mean,
but then again, he was, I like to think of a face more, and it doesn't have to do with necessarily if they're, what they're doing is good. It's whether or not the fans, you know, represent them as the person they're rooting for. You know what I mean? Because most of the time you don't root for the heel. You know what I mean? Because you do want to.
I've always been a dude who likes the bad guys.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is,
I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying.
But story wise, it makes more sense for the good guy to win.
Right.
And Austin very like pretty much never lost a feud.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, in terms, he was pretty much always a face. The only real heel turn he had was WrestleMania what 17?
17.
Yeah, where he shook hands with McMahon at the end of it. Yeah. Yeah. So
I mean, like I was gonna say, a good one that something we could fucking talk about it. Bret Hart's heel turn.
Yeah.
It like when he was in WWE, how he was fucking hated by American fans. But when they went to Canada, he was the biggest face of all time.
Yeah.
And he was still shit-talking American. Like, it was great. That was one of the smartest fucking angles of all time. And Bret didn't want to do it, and then it worked out.
It made his career.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I don't know if that made his career.
Well, what I'm saying, it made the later half of his career in WWF.
And WCW, like, because he went in as a heel.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was just, it's to me like what's funny is you named the three of the main ones on my list. You know, obviously I have Iron Sheik on there.
Iron Sheik, yeah.
You know what I mean? Definitely. Because you're talking about hating America and America hating them.
Yeah.
Fucking Iron Sheik, right? Like all the way, right there.
Absolutely.
And even Sabu. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was actually when we were talking about this, I was going to put Sabu on my list, but that's another thing that crosses that line. He was never fucking booed by fans, dude.
Yeah. Like,
everybody want because he, I mean, just because of his in-ring work, what he did, he was fucking crazy.
Well, that was the one thing you could respect about ECW fans is they knew about in-ring work. It wasn't just characters like most WWF fans.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, we're guilty of that. When we were kids, like you said, you were scared of The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I hated Triple H because of, you know, his problems with The Rock.
He's another really good heel.
Yeah, but he's not. The problem is his heel tactics are the
very
wrong
basic.
Yeah, exactly. They're very run of the mill, and on top of that, it's like, you know, he just gets so ridiculous when he's a heel sometimes, like Katie Vick.
Dude, just incredible is another one.
Yeah,
he's one of the greatest heels of all. Steve Corino
was
another, knew how to fucking get heat, man.
Yeah,
actually, that whole like later run in ECW that we've talked about here and there before, like that whole later run when it was like the Network and Cyrus the Virus, and it was like Steve Corino. Tajiri, like, you know, a dude who couldn't speak English was a great fucking heel.
Yeah.
Like, he was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, talking about, you know, later years of ECW, Paul Heyman was a great heel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He still is.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing is, like, in that article I was talking about, the Roman Reigns thing, they brought up in that article, like, when it was Brock versus Reigns at WrestleMania last year, like, Reigns came out and was booed immediately.
Yeah.
And everybody just, like, from like over from the course of Royal Rumble to WrestleMania last year, Brock went from heel champion to fucking red hot babyface.
Yeah,
dude. Like, and he's now stayed that way since. Like, even though he's a bad guy, like he'll beat up anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know,
it is what it is.
We're fucking Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, talking more about heels that were just excellent. Sheamus. No, I'm kidding.
Ha ha, he's hurt. And I know that you're not supposed to ever be happy when that happens, but I was just like, good. Like, and plus TV time.
I will say this, though. As much of a scumbag as he fucking is, JBL was a great heel.
Yeah, but he's just a piece of shit.
That's what I'm saying. You have to admit, we're not talking about whether or not
absolutely, because, I mean, like, the Acolytes, even when they became the APA and they were faces, but, like, the Acolytes, when they were, like, the Satanic Acolytes, dude, they were great fucking heels.
Yeah, and then, you know, even, and, you know, you may give me some shit for saying this, but we owe one of the greatest heel turns and one of the greatest heel, you know, runs, Hogan.
Hogan.
You know what I mean?
The
first one, not the second one.
He's, you know, he was definitely, I just don't want to give the dude props.
Well, yeah.
But
it's a double-edged sword. You don't want to give him props, but you feel like a dick for not giving him props.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because he changed wrestling forever.
I mean, dude, like, you can even count, I mean, we don't have to talk about him separately, but the Outsiders.
Yeah, definitely.
Two of the fucking best heels of all time.
Scott Hall by himself as Razor Ramon was a great heel.
Yep.
Shawn Michaels was a great heel.
Shawn was one of the best heels ever.
Well, and that was
in his later career, like in his early career. Well, actually, when he super kicked Marty Jannetty, like I mean, that was. I remember seeing that and being like, "What the fuck just happened?"
Yeah, I mean,
when I was four.
and that's the thing. Heels make wrestling worth watching, because, like, don't get me wrong, everybody loves the babyface. Everybody loves them, but you have to see someone test them,
right?
You know what I mean? To make them not look like a chump.
As much as I hate him, dude, Flair.
Yep, Flair is the ultimate heel. He really is. I mean, I'm not saying he's number one, but he's the ultimate heel. Dude's retired, and he's still a fucking heel.
Jerry the King Lawler
was
another, on his commentating, because he wasn't really a...
But
in his wrestling career, not as much.
But his run with Tommy Dreamer at ECW. Yep.
I mean, he's a great, great heel.
Kane Tommy Dreamer and his testicles.
Yeah, that's a dick move, man. Yeah. I don't, I'm trying to think of other dudes that are just like, I know we're missing somebody. McMahon.
Yeah.
McMahon is one of the greatest fucking heels.
As much of a alpha fuck he is, you know.
Mr. McFuck You Money himself.
Yeah. Yeah. But either way, I mean, he's another ultimate heel right there, because there's never been a face turn for Vince McMahon. No one's ever been on Vince McMahon's side.
No.
Even in the Invasion, they weren't on his side.
No,
that was supposed to be the prime WWE jerk off fest for Vince
McMahon.
Yeah, but
I think it's because the fans wanted to see, like, they want. I mean, that was, like, we've talked about before. It's just such a fucking letdown.
Dude. Yeah, yeah.
And, I don't know. I mean, McMahon, you got to give it to him, because, like, he's a heel in real life, so it's very easy for him to just amp it up for TV.
Yeah, but either way, man. I mean, I'm sure there's some part of Vince McMahon deep down, really deep down, that's actually a genuinely good person, like, that actually cares about this, you know, like, he does care about his family and everything like that, like, he's, you know, his grandkids and everything like that, but...
I wish everybody could see the face I was giving you right now.
But...
The dude wanted to do an incest angle with his fucking daughter.
That's why I said very deep down.
He cares about money. That's what Vince,
like, I'm talking, like, in the ball of his foot down. You know what I mean?
RVD, another RVD, fucking amazing heel. Even though he's been a face 90% of his career now. But, like, when he first started, dude, the whole Mr. Monday Night, whole fucking show.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, and on top of that, it was so great, because one of the best heel things he ever did was actually totally unscripted at the end of the first pay-per-view, where he's like, I wasn't supposed to wrestle tonight, but I did, because I showed that I'm worth more money in this ring, and I'm worth more money someplace else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
dude, the Dudleys, when they were
Dudleys,
heels.
Yeah, they
I
were,
mean,
they
actually,
were the worst type of heels, too.
My buddy Nate Kelly just sent me a video. It was a few weeks back, but it was, I want to say it might have been from Heat Wave or something, and I know he'll text me when this goes up and correct me, but... I mean, dude, it's the one where Bubba Ray fucking gets in that girl's face and, he, you know, your mother taught you how to suck dick.
Yeah.
Like, that whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
Dude, they knew how to get a crowd. Like, even though everybody loved them as wrestlers, they knew how to turn everybody in that building against
them. Well, and what's funny is, even on The Rise and Fall, because I just watched it again.
surprise.
No, but fucking Bubba Ray and Demon both say that they had to fucking hurry their asses up and leave venues because people were waiting outside for them.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I mean? Like, that is the ultimate heat.
That's heat, dude.
You know what I mean?
That's heat enough to cook a juicy burger on.
Damn straight. Making me hungry, damn it.
I was going to... there was another Dudley Boys thing. Oh, dude, I have to just bring this up. I watched... I think it was Living Dangerously 99 that I just watched. And Psycho Sid comes out during their match and just starts powerbombing people left and right. And Bubba Ray gets in his face and I think calls him a blonde, curly-haired faggot. And, like, you just, like, it's plain as day, dude. It's like, yeah. They just, there was no rules, man.
Exactly. Exactly.
ECW is great.
Yeah. I mean.
As it turns into another discussion about ECW. See, we didn't even really mention any WCW heel. Well, we mentioned some.
The Outsiders.
Yeah, the Outsiders. I mean, Hogan, you got to give it to him because that was one of the greatest fucking things that ever happened.
I mean, with Hogan, it was. It was interesting because he pretty much made all the other heels in WCW. Well, the NWO really made all the other heels in WCW totally obsolete.
Yeah.
Which was like, that's why it's one of the
Except
greatest.
Except for Chris Jericho.
That's true.
Because he knew how to work with it. Mm-hmm. Like, even though Eric Bischoff didn't want him to, he knew how to work with it, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Dude, his heel run against Dean Malenko, where he came out and read the 1001 moves.
Yeah,
that was great, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a fun time. You know what I mean? Just so I mean, really, heels. Like I said, heels make wrestling. They really do. Because I mean, even nowadays, you know, one of the best parts of Raw,
the New Day,
are full on heels.
Yet they get cheered now. But you know what? I sorry to cut you off, but
it's okay.
I was talking about the New Day with them recently, and they complain. They're like, but everybody cheers them on, so they're not really heels. But I'm like, but Xavier Woods knows how to still get heat, because when they were, I think it was last week on Raw or maybe 2 weeks ago, everybody was doing the play, Francesca,
yeah.
That whole thing, and he was about to, and then he stopped.
You don't
and
deserve
everybody
it.
Everybody booed him, and yeah. He goes, I play when I want to. Like, he knows how to still get heat, even though everybody...
loves him.
Yeah. That is smart.
Yeah.
That's smart.
It's using what you're supposed to be.
Worst heels, I already had it. Right to Censor was one of the worst fucking things that ever happened in wrestling. I love Steven Richards.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. If you didn't catch that, worst heels. I think Big Show's heel turns are always pretty terrible.
Poor guy.
You know?
Dude, The Rock.
Yeah.
Dude. And he breaks the fucking laptop. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was funny.
But, and that's another thing, like, what we didn't bring up during the best heels discussion was when The Rock came back after being in Hollywood for a few years.
In, like, 2003.
Yeah, and he had the guitar, and he would come out and be, like, talking shit to, like, L.A. and shit.
Didn't he do one of those in Cleveland?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did, because... Yeah, dude, the
Willie Nelson
Hotel
guitar
and like all the Elvis shit. Like, he's, I mean, The Rock.
I'll be sure to come back to watch the Kings kick your ass in May.
The Rock is one of the best.
Yeah, dude, I love it. But yeah, I mean, worst heels. Another section of worst heels. Obviously, Sheamus. You just don't buy it.
I don't buy him as a face either. Yeah. He's a good wrestler, but to me, that dude's a fucking jobber.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he shouldn't necessarily get anywhere near the push.
Coming from two dudes who weigh probably close to like 550 pounds.
Each.
No, yeah, it's a shame. I mean, dude, I can't... I like when he came back earlier this year and everybody cheered him before he like immediately turned heel.
Yeah.
I wanted to be like, all right, I'm going to give this guy another shot. Can't do it. Dude, fuck, sorry. Another best... CM Punk.
Yeah.
CM Punk.
Yeah. I mean, truth be told, that and what was funny is he helped push more of the face John Cena, like when he left with the title after the pipe bomb.
Yeah.
And that was one of the greatest feuds in the PG era altogether.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No matter what, even because obviously we're still in the PG era, but no matter what comes, it will still be CM Punk and John Cena, one of the best feuds ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, CM Punk... He had that way about him and just that pompousness where it's like, even though he was a smaller dude, he could still back it up.
Oh, yeah.
He could still back up the best in the world shit.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
CM Punk,
that's another thing. You have to make your heel turn believable. Prime example, The Big Show, anytime he does a heel turn, nobody buys it anymore because he's done so many of them.
Yeah.
You got to make sure if you're going to make him a heel, make it something special, like Hogan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And... Not a second one, the first one. It all comes back to that.
It always will.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm trying to think other bad, like, dudes who I was just like, this is a waste of fucking time.
Yeah.
I don't know. You go. Have you got? I don't know if you thought of any.
Well, I mean, me personally, I think that any time that the Hardys were viewed as a heel didn't really work.
Like, yeah, I don't buy it. I mean, in the Brood, yeah, sure.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like they were just trying to keep the Brood alive because they had a cool entrance.
Edge was another. I can keep thinking of good ones. Edge was another fucking great. Christian was a great heel.
Yeah, the I'm Prettier and everything like that. Yeah.
I actually just had like a bad heel in my head. I think it was somebody from WCW.
DDP when he came to WWE was a bad heel.
Yeah, because DDP was one of the most liked guys in WCW.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, dude, just the whole like when they did the Wolfpack versus that black and white NWO, like that whole thing was just stupid.
Yeah, I mean, like that was interestingly enough, you take a great heel and make him look like a bad heel. Yeah. You know what I mean? Another bad heel turn, Austin's.
Yeah.
Austin's heel turn was, and even to this day, he still regrets it.
Yeah.
Because it was just the wrong time to do it, and on top of that, all we got out of it was just a clip of him singing Kumbaya. You know what I mean? Like, that's all we got out of it.
Yeah, no, I remember watching that and just being, like, not mad or sad, just like, what the fuck just happened? Like, I mean, obviously, I knew it was fake and shit, but I was just like, why are they doing this?
Yeah,
this
doesn't make any sense. Exactly.
Bad heels. Yeah, no, another good one was Owen Hart. Owen Hart was another fucking good heel, man.
Yeah. X-Pac, anytime he tried to be a heel, I didn't buy it.
Yeah, that's like another one. It's just like, why? Yeah. What's the point?
Chuck and Billy were good heels, though.
Yeah, they were. I can just, like, the Right to Censor just keeps coming. That was one of the worst angles I ever saw. Who are some other ones, dude? Because obviously The Undertaker, not the Dead Man Walking, that was a bad fucking heel turn. That was stupid. Yeah. But when he, like, ministry, a corporate ministry era, that was good, Undertaker.
Yeah.
Shit, I gotta find somebody to talk shit on her. This isn't gonna be any fun.
Well, while you think, Pete, was there anybody in wrestling that you truly hated? Pete, I was gonna say Pete's asleep.
No, I think there was, like, a couple. Let me think about it for a second. okay, so, like, there was the, you know how there was, like, Kane and, like, all, like, the weird wrestlers, like, the Underground? There was, like, a formal name, like, they had their own group for a minute.
The Ministry of Darkness?
Ministry of Darkness. The big, fat...
Viscera.
Viscera.
Yeah, he made me very nervous. And I don't like being nervous.
It's because of his blonde mohawk and his fucking lipstick. Marilyn Manson eyes?
Yeah,
that shit, fuck... And, like... I always, like, wondered because, okay, I'm going to admit an embarrassing thing about myself. There was, like, a good moment in time where, like, I was like, yeah, dude, wrestling's, like, totally real. And if you don't think it's real, then you're dumb. And I was like, how is this overweight dude, like, holding up with all these super in shape, like, fit dudes?
No, I'm with you. We all believe that at some point.
And that, and what he's leaving out is that embarrassing period of his life was until, like, last Tuesday.
I was just about to say that, but you took the words directly out of my mouth. No, he made me, like, I just didn't like him. And, like, the whole Ministry of Darkness, I remember when they came on, and I was like, oh, dude, shit's going to get, like, real fucked up now. I've always liked Kane, but I was always terrified of him.
Yeah. So
I guess, but he wasn't really a heel, was he?
He was.
When he came in, he was. Yeah.
For a while, actually. I mean, for the first couple, actually probably 3 years, until he teamed with X-Pac. Like, he was pretty much a heel, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, and obviously, like, The Rock. Like, I fucking always hated The Rock.
Really?
Then, like, he got an acting career. I'm like, okay, I guess you're all right.
He's like, I really love The Rundown. So.
There's, like,
Rundown was fucking tight. The Line?
You mean Walking Tall?
Or Walk Hard.
I love The Rock. Walk Hard, he says.
No, he said Walk the Line. The Rock playing Johnny Cash.
And then he said Walk Hard. Hard, which is the fucking Dewey Cox movie. Yeah, dude. No, yeah. I actually love Walking Tall. I really like
Walking Tall is a good one.
Get out of here, Dewey. You don't want no part of this shit.
And so is Walk the Line. They're all good movies.
Yeah, all the walks.
Get out of here, Dewey. You don't want no part of this shit.
Except A Walk to Remember. Mandy Moore.
Well, Walk to Remember was pretty terrible. And the song Walk by Pantera, like, sucks down.
Fuck that guy. Because
Phil Anselmo is a fucking piece of garbage.
We might have a Jordanos Lament.
Fucking Nazi piece of fucking shit, dude. I saw him like 4 months ago, dude, when I went and saw Danzig. He his band Superjoint opened for fucking Danzig.
Dude,
fuck that
guy. I was like in shock when I saw that video. I was in even more shock when he said it was because we were drinking white wine in the back. I was like, fuck you, no, it's not.
Yeah, dude, fuck that guy. Like, he's the reason Dimebag Darrell is dead. Did Pantera have a good record or two? Sure. Were they one of the greatest fucking metal bands of all time? No. But that goes to fucking show why those dudes do not want anything to do with that fucking guy.
Dude, those riffs are racist. But no, like, Walk Hard is like one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, that movie, like Dewey, I've been halved.
The wrong kid died.
Wrong kid died.
Dude, have you seen...
This is cocaine, Dewey. You don't want any part of this.
You don't want none of this shit, dude. Tim Meadows is great.
Yeah, I mean, like, other than the fact that I got the movies that The Rock was in incorrectly, like, except his acting career was successful.
I love The Rock as an actor.
Except the Scorpion King.
There's actually a group of dudes, like, around my age that, like, fucking hate The Rock. Like, hated him from when he got, like, his first... And I've never understood why. I'm like, the dude is such a fucking entertainer. Like, that is what that guy's job is.
Yeah.
You just put him in front of a fucking camera or microphone, what is he saying?
And not only that, but you can put him in, like, a movie that's not even that great. Like, Pain and Gain wasn't a great movie, but it was enjoyable.
Oh, is that the Mark Wahlberg one?
Yeah.
I watched, like, the first, like, 20 minutes of that, I think. I think I told Devin about it, actually. And, like, I was laughing. I fell asleep because I was tired, but I was like, this is entertaining. Is it terrible? Sure.
I think I might have it on DVD. If so, I'll let you borrow.
I want, dude.
I think your problem is that you have idiots for friends. Because they can't discern between the fact that, you know, wrestling isn't real and he's just doing a really good job of playing the bad guy.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
And that's all it is.
I was gonna say another bad fucking heel turn, whatever. David fucking Arquette, dude.
Yeah.
That was one of the worst.
Whoa. What?
Oh, do we have to explain this to people?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh, here we go. Okay, so in 2000, either 99 or 2000.
2000, because the movie came out in 2000.
All right, David Arquette. You ever seen the movie Ready to Rumble, Pete?
It sounds familiar.
It's all right. David Arquette, Scott Kahn, Oliver Platt. They play two wrestling fans who are trying to get one of their favorite wrestlers back off the wagon.
Yeah, like he's okay. Like a total fuck up, and he gets fired, and it's a pretty entertaining movie. It's terrible, but I love that movie.
Okay.
And so around that time, they brought David Arquette in, because WCW always brought in...
They brought in Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, fucking Karl Malone. There was a tag team match, Pete, of Hollywood Hulk Hogan and Dennis Rodman versus Diamond Dallas Page and Carl fucking Malone.
The mailman, Carl Malone?
That Carl Malone.
Oh my God.
Utah Jazz,
this.
Carl Malone. And so around that time the movie came out, they brought David Arquette in on an angle. And dude, this is just funny to me, because not that the guy's not talented, meaning Jeff Jarrett, because he totally is, but that was one of their top guys at the time.
Yeah.
Your company is fucking going under if Jeff Jarrett. He's never been successful since, dude.
Yeah. I give it a couple weeks before Global Force falls.
Oh, it's still going?
Yeah.
So anyway, they brought in David Arquette, and he was supposed to be on DDP's side.
Yeah.
And then he fucking hit DDP in the head with a guitar.
Well, first, he hopped the guardrail at a pay-per-view, I think.
Yeah. David Arquette got in the ring with dudes like twice his fucking size, and then who was it? DDP?
Yeah.
Yeah, he hit DDP in the head with a guitar. And then at the next pay-per-view, he won the championship in a triple-tiered cage match.
Yeah.
And I'm not making any of this up. And he was a bad guy in WCW for, like, what, 2 months
and
or something like
this
that?
This is the same David Arquette. This is Dewey from fucking Scream,
dude. Yeah, that David Arquette.
Yeah.
Look it up, man. It's Pete's like, I'm already on it.
Dude, I just, that guy's such a bad actor. Like, that's just hilarious.
Dude, and he was married to Courtney Cox.
Foreign objects!
Foreign objects!
Okay, I know who my least favorite heel was.
Who?
Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, he was there. He's just a heel in life, though.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck Donald Trump.
The only good thing he's doing is supporting Ty's next pay-per-view. Border bash.
On top of Trump Tower.
The Republican ring bash.
It's other bad fucking heels. Like, dudes who just couldn't pull it off. I mean, the Godfather was a heel at first, but everybody ended up fucking loving him.
He had a hoe train, dude.
He had the hoe train.
The hoe train was so tight.
Pete's like, if I could, I would just watch that all day.
Oh, the hoes.
The wind-up was the best part.
Dude, that song's actually been stuck in my head for like a week.
Anytime I walk into a room, I just hear it and I just start doing the fucking strut.
I'm trying to think. I actually had a point. If we want to go off subject for a second,
I don't care.
Yeah, I know.
We go off subject all the fucking time.
Yeah, who gives? We're still talking wrestling, but something occurred to me. We're due for another revolution in wrestling, if you think about it. Because if you go back to the 70s, when there was the territories and all that shit, and it was dying off, even though it was still popular in those areas, it was dying off until Vince brought in the business. All brand fucking new, signed all the big dudes from all the territories, and pretty much fucked everybody else like he's continued to do for the rest of everybody else's career.
Definitely.
But it started dying out in the late 80s, early 90s, or I guess early to mid 90s, the business was fucking dead. Because mm-hmm. they didn't have anybody, and that was when Bret Hart was carrying the company, and then it turned into Shawn, and then Austin ushered in. So when I'm like, hear me out now.
I'm listening.
10 years or so, the business was like, not so hot. Then it came back with the Attitude Era and had like, a 6-7 year really strong push. Obviously, the first four were.
You said 10 years ago. The Attitude Era was like 20 years ago.
No, I'm saying in that, like from 88 to like 90, or 88 to like 98, it was kind of like quiet.
Yeah, like after Hogan was done and everything like that.
And then from like 97, 98 to like 2002, 2003, it was really strong again.
Yeah.
And it died off. And then there was a revitalization in like 2008, 2009, like when Cena like blew the fuck up.
Cena blew the fuck up. CM Punk came in.
Yeah, like all of that stuff. And then it's not that it hasn't been, it hasn't been good. I mean, it's been a while, dude. Like, we're about due for something. I feel it, too. I like, something big's going to happen again. Like,
feel it.
I can, dude, I have a fucking sixth sense about this
Not
shit.
Only does he feel it, but he feels it with a grapefruit.
Do you feel it as much as you felt it with Chris's sexy story time?
I didn't feel anything, man.
I was dead inside during that story.
I felt dirty.
He's like, if anything, dirty. Chris owes me a boner.
Chris owes me.
Yes, absolutely. We don't need to talk about that. All I'm saying, though, is
seriously, like, though, like, give him props, man. That was hilarious.
No, it was fan-fucking-tastic. It creeped the shit. It's not Chris that creeped me out. It was the writing that creeped me out. It was that somebody actually took the time to do that.
Well, the good news is it continues. There's four chapters of it, so.
Eat a mother... No.
No, he says.
How about the Gobbledygooker? That's another heel. That's another... a bad idea. This is bad.
Oh, yeah.
The
Gobbledy Grapefruit.
Erwin R. Scheister was a great heel. Fucking Bray Wyatt's uncle, dude.
He's
a good heel. How about, all right, fine, bad heels. The Godwins. Dude, fuck that shit. That's dumb. The fucking pig pen matches, and he turns into fucking Midian. Like, all right, next. Thank you.
Oh, man.
Did Goldberg ever have a heel turn? Oh, no, he just fucking sucked.
Well, he did have a heel turn.
In WWE, right?
No, in WCW he did.
Did he?
Yeah, remember? It was very, very terrible. Yeah, that's why you don't remember. It was very terrible. You can go back and watch it. It was not easily, like, it was basically like he was on Bischoff's side and basically just being Bischoff's lackey.
Bischoff?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I don't remember that. Like, that he just, I mean, you obviously, when I was 10 years old, I fucking loved Goldberg. Yeah. Didn't take me long to be like, fuck this
Goldberg,
dude.
Goldberg.
I'm not going to make that joke because it's not funny. That's just mean.
Yeah.
Well, all right, fine, fuck it. I was going to blame Bret Hart's not only concussion, but now cancer on Goldberg for him kicking him in the head and giving him
a fucking
stroke, dude.
Too soon.
No, that's not, I'm not, fuck, I'm just saying fuck Goldberg.
Oh, yeah,
very, very, very distraught.
What kind of cancer does Bret Hart have?
Prostate. And he has surgery tomorrow, I think, is what they said.
Yeah, surgery tomorrow.
That just fucking sucks, dude.
That literally...
I was heartbroken when I fucking read, no pun intended, like, that just fucking sucks, dude.
Yeah, like, literally that put the final nail in the coffin for 2016 for me.
Yeah, we're a month No, it was on February 1st that he announced
it.
Yeah,
so we're 2 months
in. Okay, so January fucking blew already.
Yeah.
I did a lament, fucking 3-4 weeks ago about how bad 2015 was.
Yeah.
And then just dude... fucking 30 people who like meant something to the world
how
fucking
many,
decided to up and die.
How
bullshit.
Many, how many years have you been saying this is going to be my year?
I gave up, dude.
Well, like 5 or 6 at least?
At least.
I'm like, okay, so you're 6 and 6. Good job.
Well, I mean, depending on when they caught it, you should be all right.
I hope, man. Like, that's just
seriously, like you don't understand. Losing Piper was tough, but losing Bret Hart,
that's the next
and I'm not downplaying Piper,
no,
but
not
losing
at all.
The two of them in less than a year period.
If it, he was diagnosed.
Yeah.
Whatever you believe in, but like,
if there's anybody that can beat cancer, it's Bret Hart.
Oh, absolutely, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
No, I'm sure he'll be fine. I mean. Not trying to, like, you know, downplay it. I mean, my uncle has prostate cancer and he's fine.
All right.
It's just something you have to deal with. And
I mean, it's just like...
take medicine for and...
Right. And obviously, if they're going in for surgery, they think they can fucking do something, which is awesome. It's just like, that dude, like, meant the absolute world to me when I was 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old.
But here's the thing. He meant the absolute world to everybody.
Oh, yeah, I know, dude.
At some point, there's never been, at least in terms of wrestling fans, there's never been a person that at one point wasn't in love with Bret Hart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not talking like a grapefruit type of love, but...
You're fucked up in the head.
Well, that's one thing we forgot to mention. We have a special guest in the studio with us right now. Our man Devin Newsom.
My cousin Devin Newsom.
Yeah.
The man, the news, if you will.
Yeah, Devin, come over here real quick. I want to get his opinion about the sexy story time with Chris because he heard it.
He did hear it.
Chris is a very interesting person. reading that in the way he did.
Yeah, it's like an audio book.
It was like Jim Dale doing fucking Harry Potter.
I gotta say, it was a little awkward being enclosed in a room with Pete while all this sexy stuff was happening. It kind of got me.
Did you just look at each other at one point?
And Pete just pulls out a grapefruit.
pulled out a grapefruit and looked at Devin
down.
Inquisitively.
I didn't go for anything. I didn't make a move.
You got turned down, not turned
down. Wait, I got turned down or he got turned down?
He said you were... How did we say that again?
Pete was very flaccid, he told everyone, so I got turned down. Instead of turned on.
And I just looked at Pete and I said, turn down for what?
Turn down for what?
Oh, man.
Well, thank you very much, Devin.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to have you. You might know Devin Newsom from the very illustrious podcast, The Hativity Scene.
the very short-lived.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, Jordan was once on a podcast called The Hativity Scene, and it was very well liked. There's about 60 listens in 2 years.
Is that what it's
got? Yeah. Yeah, in
60 listens, man.
60 listens in 2 years. And what's really funny is you'll find a Twitter for it, and on the Twitter, the last tweet is from 2 years ago. It says, "We're looking to do another episode. Anybody interested?" And there's no responses.
Oh, dude. No, but you might know Devin from... He does comedy.
Yeah, Devin is... He's got his finger on the pulse of the Cleveland comedy scene.
Oh, yeah.
One finger on the pulse, the other in a grapefruit.
The pulse is what I nicknamed my asshole.
Oh, man.
Fucking A.
I'm happy that Devin came because if it wasn't for Devin, Jordan wouldn't be here right now.
That's true.
I would
That's
have
true.
To talk more.
Yep. And just you two. Like, So this is Pete. This is what happened on wrestling this week. What do you have to say for it?
No, truth be told, there's always that worry that one day you're not going to make it, and it's the only night that Pete and I can both do it. So what would end up happening is me going, "Hey Pete, you see any good movies lately? Let's talk about movies."
We'll turn into a movie podcast. It'll something I can actually be, talk about it'll extensively. Sound like
the moronic version of Coast to Coast on NPR. And you're going to start talking like Catherine Hepburn, like that one lady does.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's Coast to Coast, and that's a total dickhead thing to say.
No, it's funny. It's just, oh God, Coast to Coast. I listen to that all the time.
What is it? Is it a?
It's basically like, you know, like every imagine every single homeless man that is like sitting there going like, the CIA gave me LSD and 9/11 was an inside job and the Kennedy assassination, he was killed by Abraham Lincoln. Like, imagine they gave him a microphone and a radio show.
Nice. It's so like, kind of what we're doing here with Jordan.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say.
Yeah, fuck you, Jordan.
His favorite heel. Shut up, Pete. His favorite heel's got to be Tracy Smothers, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Tracy Smothers is the worst, man.
He's not one of your favorite heels.
I mean, like, dude, like, it was like, I mean, he has to be a good heel because I felt legitimately sorry for him. Because I was just like I understand that there's bad guys and good guys in wrestling, but I think this guy's just sad. Because he's going to go to his hotel room and probably play with the pistol for a little bit and contemplate and be like, God damn it, I can't even kill it in Cleveland, Ohio in a goddamn church.
He just sat there, he's got the gun pointed at himself. He goes, "This one's for you, you little bitch."
Looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
Like,
he shoots the mirror, but he.
Let's write that fan fiction, Wrestler Suicide.
Have there been any?
What, Wrestler Suicide?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, look up the Von Erich family.
Yeah.
You want a bummer of a fucking afternoon?
You guys should do that as a topic one week, because I'll actually be semi-interested for once.
We could do that. I mean, I could make a lot of fucking suicide jokes.
That would be a very dark episode.
I'm not saying make suicide jokes. I'm just saying that could be a topic
discussion. I would be down to do a Von Erich family fucking episode. That would be good.
That would be interesting,
I think. Good content. Yeah, I would be down for that.
Yeah, but what the fuck do I know?
Obviously, you're the Lord and Savior. You know it all. Just the Lord and Savior never had time for professional wrestling.
I was too busy making the world, okay? I had 7 days to do it. I was on a deadline.
First day
I created professional wrestling.
Realized it was fake.
I was like, God damn it.
Somebody will give a shit, I bet.
Second day I created Brutus. Third day was lime water.
And turns out, God, 6,000 years later, you're running a fucking podcast where two fat fucks are talking about wrestling.
Fourth day was a grapefruit.
Fifth day was Chris.
Sixth day was the idea that Chris got to complement the sexy time story with the grapefruit.
So it was all planned. Like, God, I got this one idea for February 2nd, 2016. Well, what time is it now, Dad? I haven't made that up yet. I haven't implemented that idea.
Time? That's a good idea.
And on the sixth day, I'll just make a bunch of people of all different colors and sizes and shapes. There can't be any problems with
that. And I'm
going to
make the white ones hate everybody.
And on the seventh day, there's going to be a real bad white fucker. His name's going to be Donald Trump. He's going to give birth to a man named Ty the Gatherer.
He gave birth to him?
Yes.
I don't know about that one.
That's what the hairpiece hides. His fucking vagina.
What the fuck?
Exactly.
All right, you do political fan fiction there, then.
Donald Trump and a grapefruit.
Oh, God, I'm extra flaccid.
Donald Trump and Martin O'Malley going at it. And Ted Cruz watching with a grapefruit.
Dude, Martin O'Malley's pretty cool. I was kind of bummed that he fucking bailed.
What's that is it Kyle Mooney on SNL who did Martin O'Malley?
Yeah.
I'm Martin O'Malley, guys. You've never heard of me before.
Oh, man. So what did you guys think of the topic discussion this week? Be sure to let us know in the comments below. Let us know your favorite heels, your least favorite heels, and just get in touch with us. But on that note, we'll be right back after these messages.
What's up, you haggard asses? It's Adam the Philly Fan here, coming to you live from the fucking World's Scariest Police Chases guitar case. I just want to let you know this band is so awesome. World's Scariest Police Chases with their song I Had a Time. It's the theme song to this album and this fucking podcast. You should check it out at lockandkeyco.bandcamp.com. You could also pick up their new album, Adolf Hipster. It's on vinyl as well for all you hipsters out there. So check it out. World's Scariest Police Chases, lockandkeyco.bandcamp.com. Shit, piss, dicks out.
Welcome back to the Fatitude Era. And when you last left your heroes, we were, of course, talking about heels. But now...
Were we?
Yeah, we were. Heels and grapefruits. But yeah, just before we close this out, obviously we want to give a thank you to Chris for coming on and creeping the hell out of us with his story, 50 Shades of Rains. 50 Shades of Grapefruit. next on the next episode, you can expect quite a few things. Obviously, we're going to have another top 10 list. Steven will be making his debut, hopefully. Very special guy. And you also get to experience another new segment called Fatty Flicks, in which Jordan and I will talk about a specific movie. In this case, we're going to be talking about The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts, the new documentary that just came out. So in these next couple weeks, Jordan and I are going to meet up. We're going to watch it, take notes on it, and let you guys know what you think and whether or not it's worth the money to buy it on iTunes. So, you know, that way we're branching out, you know, the movie reviews we were talking about.
Even if it's, a movie that's got a wrestler in it, like The Miz and Marine 4.
Yeah.
Or you can watch that.
Or Santa's Little Helper.
Who's that one?
The Miz and Page.
Is that a Miz and something?
The Miz and Page.
That's fucking great.
Yeah.
Not.
That, or we will make sure that we review the DVD box set of Thunder in Paradise.
If that ever comes out, I'm buying it. by the way, you know, like one of those stupid things, it was like, what would be your, you're going to love this, like, what would be your cute pet nickname? It was like, you take the first letter from your first name and the first letter from your last name. I did J-O for my real, like, initials, and it was Thunder Thighs. And then I did J-P for Jordan Patrick for, like, when I do stand-up and shit, and it was Thunder Lips. I swear to fucking God, dude. So,
Thunder Lips.
Did these effectively hide my thunder?
I thought that was... I was like, really? That's my pet name? Is a fucking Fat Slam? Yeah. Thunder Thighs?
A, like, Fat Slam, great, and also, dude, a Hulk Hogan character.
Yeah, right? That's...
I mean, Thunder Lips, brother.
It's just perfect. It's I was going to say something else, too. I don't know. Fucking no. I don't know. We got some fucking shit in the works, and it's going to be rad. Like, I know we've been saying that for, like, a month now, but we actually do have some cool shit in the works, and
yeah, I mean,
are going to get on, and...
I mean, like that comedy gold that was fucking Chris coming out to read of that story.
Yeah.
I mean, like, seriously, like, I know we already said it, but, dude, give him props, because that was
fantastic.
Park.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. I will see you for my weekly appointment at the Adult Mart.
Just make sure he gets his reserved nudie booth.
No, I thought you were going to say his tip.
And you make sure you have the grapefruit rating waiting.
Yeah.
Wheels are turning. Wheels are definitely turning.
Yeah.
And burning and churning. And, you know, in the next couple
months. And we're
months,
yearning.
They're yearning for a change. But no, not that I really give a shit, but things are, this is really mean to say, I'm sorry.
I feel like God is such an asshole.
I feel very mean. I apologize for that. But hey,
as he's
soon,
laughing,
things next couple months.
Yep.
Some cool things are going to be happening, and I'm pretty excited for them.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Involving a grapefruit.
See, I would just use a tangerine to make it look bigger. And on that note...
Wait, hold on. Wait a minute.
What do you got?
Another little homework question. Be sure to leave in the comments, would you rather a tangerine or a grapefruit?
What taste do you prefer? Sour or sweet?
Exactly.
I prefer a really ripe cantaloupe.
Get soft. Or a nice honeydew. I've never fucked a fruit. I would be completely honest if
he's
I did.
He's all about banana squashes.
I didn't say a fruit hasn't fucked me. And in that note, in the words of the immortal Jim Cornette,
thank you, fuck you, bye. seen it all before.
You guys are rolling.
Alrighty.
Would you fuck me?
I'd fuck me.
Welcome back to the Fatitude Era.
The Fatitude Era.
It was a very sexy ad.
You like that song?
Yeah, I like that
I
song.
I like that song.
I like it hard. But yeah, anyway, we're back to the Fatitude Era.
I can't get it to pause now. It just plays throughout the rest.
Started from the top.
What?
Started from the top.
Right, all right, go ahead.
Okay.
Fucking Pete making cut calls now. Go ahead.
Those kids are making more money than you, though.
What kids?
The kids that are sad, dude.
Pete, dumb fucking morons making videos themselves or
yeah,
making...
Yeah, dude, you know you make like $10,000 and you get like a million hits on YouTube, right?
Really?
Yeah. Come on, homie.
I didn't know
Internet,
that.
Ever hear of it?
A million? I could use 10 grand. I could use 10 grand. I could use 10 grand. I could use 10 grand.